talk a moment about who we are. Susan and I are self-esteem experts, and why we're self-esteem experts is because we have been in a place in our lives where both of us have had low self-esteem and studied hard, used the tools and techniques that we are providing with to you on our website to improve our self-esteem. And I can honestly say that the two of us today are just completely different people than we were years ago before we used these tools and techniques. So we want to really encourage you to use the website, to do the exercises, we're putting up new pages frequently, and to use the RSS feed, which is on most pages, which we can tell you whenever we update the website, to go to it and see the new things that we put on. We want to encourage you to really express your greatness. We fundamentally believe that every person is great, and it's just a matter of you learning to uncover what is special, unique, and great about you. And that's what we try to do with the ideas and information on the site. We know the tools and techniques work, and they will totally support you for change. Do you want to add anything, Sue, before I move on to the agenda?
Yeah, one thing I wanted to say, Joan spoke about our personal experiences with self-esteem. In our professional lives, we each have about 35 years of experience working with people, individuals, in corporate settings, to really support people in feeling good about themselves. And we know that how you feel about yourself really affects every single aspect of your life. So we're excited to now get into the meat of today's teleclass. Joan.
Okay, Sue, thank you. Okay, so on page 3, we've outlined the basic agenda for today of the handouts I'm talking about, page 3 of the handouts. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to just get involved in a centering exercise. Susan's going to lead us in a relaxation exercise, a meditation centering, whatever you want to call it. We're just going to try to focus on the here and now and leave whatever happened today behind us. Then what we're going to do is I'm going to talk about healthy self-esteem, and I have some exciting things to share. I just came from the self-esteem conference in Washington, so I'm going to be sharing that. And we're going to also talk about what are the techniques for transforming self-esteem and moving from low to high. And then we're going to help you create a vision for your future, and I'm going to be asking some more questions along the way. So, Susan, I'd like you to get started with the centering exercise, if you would.
Great. So make yourself comfortable. Now, this is an exercise in which I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. So if by any chance you're in your car, simply listen to the words, or you might want to pull over to be able to do this. One of the important aspects of centering is that we, all of us, have so much going on in the course of our day that we often lose our connection with ourself in the present moment. And that's the purpose of this exercise. So please close your eyes, make yourself comfortable, and focus your attention on your breath, inhaling through your nose a sense of calm and relaxation, and exhaling fully and completely through your mouth. And during the next few moments, continue to focus your attention on your breath, actually following the path of your breath in the present moment as you inhale fully and deeply through your nose and exhale through your mouth, continuing to focus your attention on your breath. And with your next exhalation, actually allow yourself to sigh into the support of the seat beneath you, knowing that that seat represents the support that is always and forever available to you. Take one more deep breath, inhaling fully, exhaling completely. And now, using the full resources of your imagination, Imagine that in your right hand you have a deflated pink balloon, and easily and effortlessly bring that balloon up to your mouth and begin to inflate your balloon with all of the cares, concerns, worries, unanswered questions, anything that is capturing your attention that brings you any sort of agitation, anxiety, or worry. And just fill your balloon, knowing that this balloon is elastic enough to contain whatever concerns, not enoughness, anxieties, problems, obstacles, and worries that you have. And when your balloon is filled, tie off the end and easily and effortlessly release it as it goes up, 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 becoming smaller, smaller, and smaller as it disappears. And as this happens, at this very moment, once again, focus your attention on your breath, inhaling fully, exhaling completely, fully ready to be present in the here and now. Okay, allow your eyes to open, aware of your surroundings. And again, as Joan has already said, if there's anything you'd like to share or if you have any questions, just press the 1 on your phone keypad and then we'll know to call on you. So one of the things that is very important to us in terms of self-esteem is our ability to define our goals, to actually define what it is that we want. And the way we do this, the way we define our goals, is to ask ourselves the question, you know, what is your goal? So I'd like you to turn to page number 4 of your handouts. The title of that page is Goal. And on that page, you'll see there are 2 questions. The first one is, what is your goal? And in order for this call to be most effective and successful for you, it's really important for you to define how you want to be feeling at the end of this call, particularly how you want to be feeling about yourself. I'd like you just to take a few moments. You might want to jot down some responses. And the next part of this is, at the end of this call, what is it that you want to be thinking? What are the thoughts that you want to have? And some examples are, oh, I really learned something that was valuable that I can put to use right away. Or, huh, this was really helpful. It does make a difference for me to focus on my self-esteem. So just take a few moments, think about your answers. And what we're going to do is we're going to divide you into breakout groups where you'll have an opportunity to share your goals for this call. So take a moment and think about your answer, okay? And we're going to break into groups of 3 or 4, Susan. What do you think, 3? Okay, we're going to break into groups of 3. When you get into your group, you'll be able to talk to one another. And I'd like you to begin by stating your name and where you're from, and then share what your goals were. And get to know one another a little bit in your group. Okay, you should be all in your own groups right now. If anybody's experiencing a problem, just raise your hand by pressing 1. We have about a minute left. Okay, everybody, it's time to finish up. Just finish whatever you were saying, and we're going to come back to the larger group. All right, great. Now I just want to go around the room and see how that was for a few people. Was that experience, what was your experience of it? Does anybody want to raise their hand and share with the whole group? Press 1 if you do. Well, nobody's pressing. So I'll tell you what I heard, and I heard some really great things about how people really wanted to, I do see one hand up. Okay, well, then hold on 1 second. Mike, why don't you share?
Well, I think the experience was good. It was good hearing the other people and also just stating it aloud, our goal, to other people made it feel more real.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that you're right on. Susan, you want to say something? Yeah, and that is one of the powers of support and expressing what our desires are. Sometimes we hold back from expressing our goals because we wonder, maybe I'm really not going to be able to do it, and so I don't want to say it. Or some people think, you know, I don't want to jinx something by saying it. But there really is a power in expressing what your desire is. So thanks a lot, Mike, for that response. Anyone else?
Well, I want to thank you all for sharing with one another. I think one of the themes that I heard a lot in the groups were that people really just wanted to get an extra push and to go to a new level of expression and being, and were looking for some tools and techniques that they can feel better about where they are and feel some razzmatazz about where they want to go. So I have a feeling we're going to be able to meet those objectives tonight. So I'm going to move on, and basically I'm now on handout number 5. And we talk about, well, what is self-esteem? Well, I think it definitely is what you think and how you feel about yourself. And just this definition alone lets you know that everybody has self-esteem. So it's just a matter of whether you have a positive self-esteem or a healthy self-esteem or a low self-esteem. Or maybe you're on the fence there and you go up and down. But everybody definitely has self-esteem. So the trick is really understanding the direction of what healthy self-esteem looks like. And I talked about, I just came from a conference in Washington, D.C., this past month, and you know, there was a lot of discussion about, well, really, what is self-esteem, healthy self-esteem? And there still is some discrepancies in how a lot of people define it. But what I've done is come up with what I saw was what most people agreed on what healthy self-esteem was. And I want to just briefly touch on it, and that's on handout 6. And let's just take a look at that. So the first one is meeting life's challenges. And, you know, what that looks like is when a problem occurs is being able and ready to know that you have the inner resources to handle it. A lot of people with low self-esteem get upset. They get off track when life's challenges arise. Now, life's challenges always arise. So that is just a constant in life. You know, it has its ups and downs, and it's how we deal with those challenges that make a difference. So if you deal with them with confidence, and confidence really looks like asking for help and support and information when you need it, a very, very important component of healthy self-esteem. A very large component of self-esteem is making conscious choices to support what you want. And I tell people in our class all the time, the most important relationship you have in your life is with you. And if you treat yourself as you would treat a best friend, you'd be in good shape. So you want to take responsibility for that relationship. You are the conductor of your life. And as soon as you understand that, the better off you're going to be. And you also in that need to take responsibility for your thoughts and your words and your actions. It's very easy to blame others and say, well, that person did this to me or that person upset me. Really, what upsets you is your own thoughts and words and your own reaction to what's going on. And we cover a lot of this on the site, looking at what your beliefs are about what's going on. Because there's one thing I have really learned. There's a lot of answers to every situation. And life is not black and white. And so you're going to have a reaction. And is that reaction going to support what you want or detract from what you want? So when you take responsibility for your thoughts and words and actions, you take responsibility for supporting what you want. And part of this, and as Susan talked about earlier, is creating a vision and a focus for yourself. You know, unless you have some vision of what you want in your life, you can't really go there. You can't really get it. You're like a ship adrift in the sea. Susan wants to say something. Stand by.
It's as if you were planning a vacation and you decide that you want to go to the seashore for the vacation. But in order to determine how you're going to get there, you must know the starting point, where you're starting from and where you want to go. And that's why goal setting is so crucial and so important.
And we've just created some new content around goal setting. I really want to encourage you to read it and look at it and to email us with your questions. Another part of self-esteem is just, of healthy self-esteem, is relating well to others. Accepting that everybody's entitled to their point of view. And that point of view is not necessarily about you, because often people react very personally when their friends or coworkers say something, and they take it personally. Well, healthy self-esteem is letting people be who they're going to be and knowing that everybody has a point of view, and that point of view is their right and choice, just as yours is. And the best you can be when you relate to people is understand that and to be loving and compassionate, kind, and also forgiving. So relating well to others is really good for healthy self-esteem. And then what I was really struck by was how many people talk about healthy self-esteem and making a contribution to society. I mean, when you help others, and Susan and I both do a lot of volunteer work and do a lot of work with other people, and when you contribute to somebody else's life and you focus on the common good for all and not just yourself, it really does make a difference in how you feel. And so that's also a very strong component of healthy self-esteem. Does anybody have any questions about this before I move on? Just press 1 if you do. Okay? Well, then I was hopefully very clear. Okay, so how does healthy self-esteem develop? I'm on page 8 right now. So healthy self-esteem develops to begin with by understanding how the brain works. And we go into a lot of detail on this topic in Self-Esteem Experts, and there are links to the pages in your website resources. But I just want to just go over this a little bit with you. Basically, we all have thoughts that operate in our head constantly, and we're always talking to ourselves. And our thought has a dominant pattern in the brain. And that dominant pattern is what I call the path of least resistance. And that pattern might not be a pattern for healthy self-esteem. So the first thing you have to do when we talk about retraining our brain is recognizing what our pattern of thinking is. Does our pattern sabotage what we want? Does our pattern support what we want? And that is step 1 in developing healthy self-esteem, is recognizing what are the thought patterns that go on in your mind. Because what we do when we talk about improving self-esteem is we need to retrain the thinking. And retraining does take practice and time. Actually, it takes about 30 days to enforce a brain change. But Susan's going to say something. Stand by.
When the way that I like to think about this is that we have software installed in our brain, and the software hasn't been installed when we were very young, based on what we've been told and how we were treated by the influential people in our lives. And one way to think about it is, let's say when you were in elementary school And actually, I had this experience. I was kind of clumsy. I wasn't very athletic. And I was always the last one being chosen to be on a sports team. And so what started happening is I would be so anxious about not being chosen that I would be thinking, nobody's going to choose me. Nobody's going to choose me because I'm not good at sports. And that train of thought was so deeply embedded in my mind that, you know what, I'd be up at bat or the ball would come to me to catch and I wouldn't be able to catch it because all of my thinking would be focused on making a mistake and nobody wanting me to be on the team. So all of us have brain pathways and software that can be detrimental to how we feel about ourselves, that in some ways has us feel as though we're not enough. And so a good deal of moving from poor self-esteem, low self-esteem, to healthy and positive self-esteem has to do with upgrading the software of our mind. Back to Joan.
All right. Thanks, Susan. The next part of developing healthy self-esteem is really learning to watch those thought patterns and to turn them into very supportive thoughts. I like to say you're learning to love yourself and to treat yourself with respect and honor yourself. So what does that look like? Well, we have a lot of information in these handouts about the model that we talk about, which is this awareness choice change model. And basically, it's about waking up to whatever it is that you're thinking and feeling. The first thing, the first signal to you that you might not be supporting yourself is you're not feeling good. So when you're not feeling good about something, it's time to wake up to what is the belief that you might be holding right now about whatever's going on.
And oftentimes what we do when we're not feeling good about something is our attention goes to wanting to change something in our external environment. Either we want our circumstances to change, or we want the people in our environment to change, or we want to be able to change what we're doing and saying. But our experience has been, as soon as you notice that you're not feeling good about yourself, as soon as you notice that you're feeling angry, frustrated, victimized, resentful, any of those feelings that have to do with suffering and misery, the question to really ask yourself is, what are the thoughts that I'm having that are fueling the feelings that I'm having?
As soon as you ask yourself that question, you are making a choice about what's going on in your brain. You might make a choice not to do anything about it, but just asking yourself what is going on, you're giving yourself an opportunity to look at what you're feeling, look at what you're thinking, look at the behaviors and say, is this what I want? That's where the component of choice comes in. And I always like to tell people the best thing you can ask yourself in a situation when you're not feeling good about something is, what do I want to have happen in this situation? I use this question all the time because sometimes you're upset about something and you focus on the upsetness of it as opposed to what do you want to have happen in this situation. As soon as you focus on what you want to have happen in the situation, you're moving into a vision, a direction, a goal. When you stay in the feeling of the situation, you're just reinforcing the brain pathway that brought you there, and it's going round and round over and over and over again, and it's going to be hard to get out of it. So you want to wake up to what your thoughts, feelings, and behaviors are, and then you're going to say, what do I want to have happen in this situation? And then you want to consciously choose thoughts that work towards you getting what you want. So that's part of this awareness choice change model, because you need to alter your thoughts and feelings to move in the direction that you want to move in. It's most people really don't understand that they have a choice. They're so caught up in this repetitive brain pattern that they really don't realize they have a choice. But that simple question, what do you want to have happen in this situation, gives you the ability to accept responsibility and move towards making an empowered choice about what you want to have happen. That's healthy self-esteem. Then you need to think differently. You need to replace old patterns of behavior, and there's many techniques to do that, and I'm just going to teach you one right now, which is don't focus on the negative. If I tell you, I don't want you to think about Donald Duck, I don't want you to think one thought about Donald Duck, how many here, raise their hand, are thinking about Donald Duck? Press one. Well, I see that we have a lot of people that are thinking about Donald Duck. But I've asked you not to think about Donald Duck. Well, that's just the way the brain works. If I ask you not to focus on something, you will focus on it. So we need to replace brain patterns with negative brain patterns with positive brain patterns. So if what you want is to be loving and supporting of yourself, but you, when you ask the question, what do I want, and you say, I don't want to be miserable, that's not an acceptable way to change your behavior. What you want is to feel good. So the words would be, I choose to feel good. And then you might want to do something that makes you feel good, and that reinforces a positive thought pattern in your brain. Sue, did you want to add something to that? Nope, I'm being clear. Does anybody have any questions about this? Raise their hand, or any reaction. Okay. Susan wants to ask a question.
Okay, we're just curious because we're here and we're doing the talking. We're just curious to hear some reactions. And since nobody raised their hand, I'm going to call on Sheila. Would you be willing to share with us just some reactions you've had to what we've gone over so far?
I certainly agree with what you're saying. I think we all have a choice into our thought patterns and whatnot. I think we get tied up more in the easy way out of, you know, I don't want to be miserable, instead of like rethinking that and saying, I want to be happy. So I think that we just get tied up in our old patterns. So
exactly. And, you know, one of the things that we think is really crucial is that when you notice that you are tied up in your old pattern, as you just mentioned, as soon as you notice that, it is a very powerful act to acknowledge yourself for noticing the pattern. All too often, people then start to beat themselves up. Oh, you know, I shouldn't be saying what I don't want. Why am I still doing that? But simply the act of noticing what you're thinking, what you're saying, how you're feeling, is an intervention, is an opportunity for you to be awake in the present moment. Okay, let's hear from one more person. How about you, Dennis? You willing to share with us?
How my reaction so far?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I was busy thinking about Donald Duck. No. I definitely appreciate the frankness and certainly the point to make sure that we focus on what we want and not what we don't want. And I think that we've had some very good techniques shared so far and some good points, and I'm definitely appreciating the course.
Oh, terrific. Okay, then we're just going to move on. And again, a reminder, if at any point you have a question or you'd like to add something, just raise your hand by pressing number one on your phone keypad.
Okay, well, I just want to talk about something I alluded to earlier about practicing. All the behavior, I'm on slide 12 right now. All the behavior change models that most behavioralists work from stress one very strong point, and that's in order to change behavior, you have to have consistent, continual practice. And I think that oftentimes people with low self-esteem issues
get very impatient with themselves and don't have a high tolerance for mistakes. And I really want to emphasize this concept of a high tolerance for mistakes because, you know, if you think of a boat that's on course, heading towards a destination, that boat is off course most of the time. Life requires constant adjustments. And I don't think that a lot of people understand the concept that you have to be constantly adjusting where you're at. And that's all part of this kind of awareness choice change model. You just can't do it once and expect that the neural pathway in your brain has changed. That's just not going to happen. If you think about, you know, when you learn to ride a bike and early on, when you were beginning anything new, you thought about, okay, well, you know, how does it feel? You know, I have to look to the right, I have to look to the left, I have to keep my eyes on the road, I have to pedal at a certain speed, I have to keep my handlebars balanced. So there were a lot of different components to you learning the skill set, and you were making constant adjustments along the way. And eventually you got to the point where you got on the bike and you went into an automatic mode. And that took consistent, continual practice. And life today for you is no different. Actually, it's a little harder because we're a little older and it takes a little longer for many of us to really get it. So I really want to encourage you to use this model, which is, oh, I'm waking up to a thought that I always put myself down. Great, you woke up to it. Don't be down on yourself because you're always putting yourself down. You woke up to a thought that isn't supporting your greatness. Isn't that terrific? Okay, well, what do you want? Well, I want to be successful in this particular endeavor. I want to tackle this assignment with energy and confidence. Great. Well, what change do you have to make in your thought? Well, just thinking that and declaring it and then taking very specific actions that can show yourself that you can succeed in small steps to getting at your goal will be a very positive change. So please be kind with yourself, recognize that mistakes are part of life, and give yourself the consistent, continual practice to change your thought patterns. Okay, any questions on this? Nope. Okay, Sue, do you want to move on?
Yep. Okay, we're now going to focus on, and we noticed that this page didn't have a page number, but it would be page number 13. It's called Techniques for Feeling Good. And in this, we've just focused on three areas, three kinds of techniques that we think are so powerful. And one of them is visualization. It's really important to know, Joan was talking about how the brain works, is that our mind, our being, does not know the difference between something that we're actually experiencing in three-dimensional reality or something that we're imagining in our mind. So I just want to give you an example of this. Just take a moment, and as long as you're not driving or doing something that it would be dangerous for you to close your eyes, just close your eyes for a moment and imagine before you is one of your favorite desserts. See what it looks like, the color, the shape, the size. Does it have an aroma, a fragrance? And now, take one bite of this favorite dessert of yours and let it just rest on your tongue. What do you taste? Where in your mouth do you taste it? And now chew it slowly. What side of your mouth do you chew on? What flavors are you tasting? Chew it until it's completely gone. And now open your eyes. I'm curious to know, you can just raise your hand, how many of you salivated while imagining your favorite dessert? Press 1 on your keypad. Okay, hands are going up. I mean, that's just one example of the power of visualization. Okay, most people were salivating, and I know I was, and my eyes were open as I was describing it. But visualization is a technique that is used by Olympic swimmers. They imagine, well, they're not even in the water, and they imagine that their fingers are longer than they actually are, so that they're getting a further reach when they're swimming. Olympic skiers imagine themselves going down the slopes when they're nowhere near the slope. So the power of visualization is extremely powerful. Unfortunately, one of the things that happens is that much of the time when we have low self-esteem, we're imagining what we don't want. Here, Joan's going to add something.
I really didn't understand until the last few years, even though I've heard everything that Susan said, it was just in the last few years that I've really understood the power of visualization. And I want to add something to it. It is not just the visualization, but when you are visualizing something, you're feeling something. And it is the feeling and the visualization that brings about changes in the brain. I mean, they have done so many studies where they had people practice shooting hoops, basketball hoops, shooting basketballs into hoops in real life and then just in their brains in a visualization. And when they went to play, there was very little difference. So visualization works for behavior change. So when we talk about imagine what it would be like to feel something or to have what you want, we really want you to imagine it with the full resources of your mind, because that will drive a behavior, a feeling, and that will produce a new neural pathway in your brain.
What just popped into my mind as I was listening to Joan is so often we've heard many people have spoken with us about using affirmations, which are statements of what it is that you desire. And one of the things, sometimes people don't have success with affirmations, and sometimes that's because they're just saying the words and not feeling the experience. So the power of visualization, as Joan has said, is to not only be able to see what you want, but as you're watching it, allow yourself to feel the feelings associated with feeling good about yourself, with being successful in reaching a particular goal. And sometimes it takes more than one time of seeing something in your mind, because you may have a brain pathway that has said, you know, what makes you think you can accomplish that? And so as Joan said earlier, regular, consistent practice is what is so crucial. Another technique for feeling good is the technique of meditation. And if any of you have been on our site, you see that we have a number of meditations that you, guided meditations that you can use. But there are two aspects to meditation. One is focus. Whether you're meditating, focusing on your in-breath and out-breath, or a particular mantra, which is a sound, or a particular word or phrase, or even if it's a walking meditation, and you're walking and saying right foot when your right foot goes forward, and left foot when your left foot goes forward, it has focus. The other aspect of meditation is it has relaxation. You're focused in the present moment on a particular point, it may be your breath, and you're also open and receptive. The gift of meditation is, one, it allows us to be present in the moment. When we did our centering exercise at the beginning of this call, I was asking you to focus on your in-breath and your out-breath. When you're focused on your inhalation and exhalation in the moment, you're in the present, and the present is truly our point of power. The other thing that's so valuable about meditation is, and you can find this in any meditation instruction, says something like, and if you notice your mind wandering, bring it back to your breath. Bring it back to your mantra. Bring it back to your step. we get practice through that in choosing where we're going to focus our attention. And since our self-esteem is based upon what we think and how we feel about ourselves, it's deeply rooted in where we focus our attention.
Joan? There's one more interesting thing about meditation when we talk about the neural pathways in the brain. What happens in meditation is you slow down your thinking by just focusing on one thing. Normally our brain is what they call in a beta state where it's very agitated, thinking, you're multitasking in your brain all the time. And that can be a distraction if you're trying to retrain yourself with new thought patterns. So by slowing down your thinking and focusing on one thing or just going into a relaxed mode and then reviewing some of the things that you want for yourself in your life, that is a very effective method for changing behavior. I do it frequently. I have I meditate, or I just even go into a relaxed state in the morning, and I have what I call these focus cards, five or six things that I want to work towards right now in my life. And I look at those cards, and I think about how great it would feel to have those things in my life. And just that action, and when I do it with the meditation, drives me to come up with great new ideas about how to get those things and to take and to start my day off in a very focused way towards the things that I want. You'd really be surprised at some of the creative things that you come up with by doing this. How many of you have had experience in meditation? Raise your hand. Press one. Okay, so half of you have had some experience, which is great. And I want to encourage you to continue with it. And the others that have not, I want to encourage you to go to the site, read about meditation, because I honestly feel there's nothing more powerful for changing how you feel about yourself than meditation. It does take discipline. It does take some time. And it will take consistent, regular practice for you to go into a relaxed state. But the rewards are well worth it.
Okay, the next technique that we have listed on page 13 is acknowledging your accomplishments. And one of the things that we find over and over again with the groups and the individuals that we work with is the difficulty that people who are experiencing low self-esteem have with acknowledging their accomplishments. If you ask them what they weren't good at or what isn't good about them or what isn't enough about them, they frequently can go on and on and on and on. But we're not interested in terms of healthy self-esteem in reinforcing those brain pathways. So acknowledging accomplishments gives you practice in seeing yourself as someone who achieves results and to strengthen that yes, I can brain pathway. And one of the things both Joan and I learned, we studied with a program called DMA in the early 80s with a wonderful teacher by the name of Robert Fritz, is that it can be very helpful to create for yourself an accomplishment symbol. And I'm going to give you an example of mine. It's something that I already do. So I consider brushing my teeth an accomplishment. And I can assure you that there have been days since 1982 when I chose this accomplishment symbol that just getting a wet toothbrush up to my two front teeth was all I could manage. But I associated something that I was already doing, and that's what's crucial about an accomplishment symbol. It's something that you're already doing, and associate that with accomplishment. So that even on those days when that toothbrush only got up to my two front teeth, I could go to sleep feeling some sense of accomplishment. So we would like you each to have an experience of tooting your own horn, sharing what you consider your accomplishments. And so we're going to break you up into breakout groups again, into groups of three. And again, this will be, we encourage you say your name and where you're from because you'll be in different groups than you were in last time. And you will have a total of 5 minutes. There'll be a 1 minute tone when there's 1 minute left. And we just ask that you that you make sure that everybody has an opportunity to share their accomplishments. And while you're in the breakout group, if you hear anybody talking about what they can't do, or that, well, they really don't accomplish this all the time, I encourage the other members of the group to say, hey, wait a minute, focus on what you do accomplish, what you are doing, because this is practice in tooting your own horns. Okay, you should be able, one moment, to speak in your groups. Go right ahead.
Okay, it's time to wrap up. Finish your thoughts, and we'll be coming back into a larger group in a moment.
Okay, great. Joan and I had the opportunity to listen in to some of the accomplishments, and it's really fascinating to me to hear both. I heard somebody talk about making the bed, heard somebody else talk about putting themselves through school. And, you know, I really want to encourage you, particularly if you're at a place in your life where you are struggling with a challenge right now, to make the time each day to write down 5 accomplishments that you've had. And if you're not struggling in your life right now, write down 5 accomplishments each day as well. This will give you practice in seeing yourself as somebody who accomplishes things. Now, I'm just curious to hear, would anybody raise your hand if you'd be willing to share what this experience is like for you, to share your accomplishments? And we'll call on you if you don't. Okay, let's see. Okay, brave. Dennis, one moment. Let me just unmute you. Okay, Dennis, what was that experience like for you?
Yeah, it was, you know, it was nice, actually, to be able to share experiences with someone else, you know, large and small, really. And to understand that it's important to acknowledge both, keep them present in your mind, and keep you motivated towards continuing to accomplish similar things every day. But it was fun.
Great. Anybody else? Okay. Libby, would you be willing to share with us? What was that experience like for you?
It's good. It's good to relate to other people and find out that there's others who are struggling in similar situations, and that small things like making the bed or taking a shower is something that you can be that's positive in your day, even if the rest doesn't go quite the way you want it to.
Yeah, absolutely. It is really crucial for us to learn to see ourselves through the eyes of accomplishment. Okay, I'm going to move on to page number 15 right now, and this is something that you'll also have an opportunity to work on more completely on your own, but it is, the title of the page is My Vision of the Future, and this is an opportunity for you on page 15 and on page 16 to begin the process of creating that vision, creating your goal, creating, putting into words what you desire in terms of the various aspects of your life, but more importantly, how it is that you want to feel about yourself. Because your self-esteem is now, we're all adults on this course, is now up to each one of us. If we truly desire to feel good about ourselves, it's up to us to identify what the software is. So I'd like you to take, I'm just going to go over briefly the categories of this. It's one is your relationship with yourself, then it's your health, health in terms of your body, mind, spirit, your family and friends, your work, finances, fun, thoughts, feelings, and actions. And I ask that you each just take a few moments to jot down in one of these areas what your vision is. And keeping in mind what we spoke about earlier, write in the present tense, focus on what you do want, not what you don't want, and allow yourself to dream big. Truly, there's no difference in terms of whether you call it the law of attraction or the creative process. There's no difference in creating something small or creating something large in terms of our imagination. So just take 1 minute to jot something down, and then we will give you an opportunity to share that. Okay, what we'd like to do right now is just to go around and hear from some of you. your vision. Because what we've found is that it's really helpful to hear what other people wrote, because this is a good time for plagiarism. Somebody may have written something that is exactly what you'd like. So I'm just going to call on some of you one at a time. Hampson, would you be willing to share? You know, and if for any reason somebody doesn't want to share, you can feel free to say that. Your vision of yourself.
My relationship with myself at this time is definitely to be forgiving of myself. And to myself, and to find my sister so that I can celebrate myself.
Terrific. Excellent. Okay, thank you. Dennis.
I mean, it's a little sticky. I envision myself to be someone who truly actualizes their goals, you know, doesn't let them just sit on paper, but to achieving them. And this includes, you know, really focusing on my health and exercising daily. I'm somebody who doesn't necessarily expect perfection, strives for the best every day, but accepts when I make mistakes and continue to press on and move forward instead of feeling guilty and beating up on myself.
Great.
And
we're just having some technical issues right now. If you all could just stand by, we're trying to figure it out. Okay, great.
Okay, Karen.
Is that Karen?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, your name must have been spelled incorrectly in our message. Okay,
exactly.
Yes.
Okay, I did work, and I said I am a successful life and motivational coach. I inspire my clients to live their best life now.
Fabulous. It seems to me like you've probably had some experience doing this before.
Yes.
That was a very powerful, you said it in the present tense, it was a positive statement. And I also want to reinforce that the way you expressed it was with confidence. So thank you very much. Okay, next. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Nagara,
yeah.
Are you there? Would you be willing to share one of your vision statements with us?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Should I press one?
No, you don't need to. We can all hear you right now.
I couldn't express in sentence. I just wrote down the name of the feeling. So for first, your relationship with yourself, I want it to be based on love. Like very much on the next page 17, one of the questions that I read that is applicable for me, I think, is I speak up for myself confidently and I listen to others without judgment.
Fabulous. So I just want to take a moment for the without judgment, because the without judgment part of this is what you don't want to do. So I'm going to suggest that you might want to tweak that to, and I listen to others with acceptance.
Instead of without judgment.
Yes,
oh,
because
okay.
Without judgment is really what you don't want to do.
Okay, well, I read it on the handout.
Yeah, you read it from the handout without judgment? Well, we may have needed to change the handout then.
Well,
thanks.
It kind of says after that, there's accepting that what they say is true for them.
Yes, yes.
So instead of without judgment, we'll say with accepting.
Exactly. Fabulous. Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to move on right now. We encourage you to use this worksheet as a way to get clear about your vision of your life. And we think that this time of year, with the new year approaching, is a perfect time to allow yourself the time to, when so many people in the world are coming up with resolutions, which are re-solutions, for you to identify your vision for your future. Here's Joan.
That's taking responsibility, and that's what we want to encourage you to do. Take a hold of the steering wheel and set a direction and course. So many of you have written to us and asked us about support groups, and I want to just talk a moment about support and really want to encourage you to reach out and get support for whatever it is that you want to do in your life. Joining a support group is one way to do it, because if you join a support group, you feel connected, you get to hear that your problems are not the only problems in the world. Other people have been there. You don't feel isolated in whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish. We found that people do get a feeling of hope, that there's it's so easy to learn from other people and hear other success stories. And learning from other people helps you brainstorm and think about ways that you can try some new things. So joining a support group or reaching out to friends, you really do gain new insights. And if we looked at, you know, what is healthy self-esteem, it is interacting with people. We really want to encourage you to express yourself and get feedback on just as we did tonight. You know, Susan was saying, well, you know, you might want to phrase it this way or that way, so that you can refine your skills as you move more and more towards healthier and healthier self-esteem. And the other value to reaching out and getting support is just a reminder of, you know, it's okay to make mistakes. That go ahead and go try for it. And that whole concept of consistent, regular practice is really important. And I want to just take an opportunity to find out from you all, do a little survey about whether, you know, what types of support you all might be interested in as we develop future programs for self-esteem experts. One request that we did have was for holiday support groups, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But for the moment, I'm wondering if I could just ask you a few questions, and I'd like each one of you to press one or two depending upon the instructions. And there's just a few questions. So let me begin with, how many of you might be interested in an ongoing support group where you can kind of just drop in whenever you need a self-esteem boost? If you are interested, please raise your hand by pressing 1, okay? A number of you are interested in it, which is great. That just confirms what we're hearing on the site. So great. Now, let's say that we were running a support group. What would work best for you? Who would be interested in weekly support? Raise your hand by pressing 1, okay? I'd say about a quarter of the group is interested in weekly support, all right? Who would be interested in biweekly, every 2 weeks? Press 1 if you're interested in that, okay? Another quarter of the group is interested in that, okay? And we're running out of time here, so who would be interested in monthly support groups? Press 1. Great. It's very, very divided. All right. We're also interested in running a goal-setting group, and I would like to know who would be interested in a goal-setting group. Raise your hand. Press 1. Okay. So about half of you would be interested in a goal-setting group. Well, I want to thank you all for so much for helping us and answering these questions. We're running out of time, and I do want to just let you know that we are having a holiday support group. We'll be running a support group over the holidays. There's been a request. It's a tough time for a lot of people. A lot of people are alone and maybe need some kind of support, and the group becomes their family. A lot of people sometimes are not exactly where they want to be, so the holidays bring up a time when they wish things were different. So I want to encourage you to go to the site under classes and groups and sign up for the holiday support group. Well, Susan and I will be running that over the next few weeks. And for those of you that sign up in the next 24 hours, we have a special gift for you, a behavior change special report that we've put together. It's really informative. We've just researched what we feel are the best behavior change models,
and examples to help you support healthy self-esteem. We want to thank you so much, and we really appreciate your time and energy, and we're going to open up the phone lines just to say, for everybody to say goodbye. Susan, you want to just say something before we do?
Yes, I do. What I want to say is that your being on the call tonight is such a powerful demonstration of your connection.
Thank you, everybody. I'd like to say thank you and have a great evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.